This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 22nd of July, 1958. The title of this lecture is The Rock Question and Answer Period. This tape is 54 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
All right, this is the question period of the 7th lecture. Yes, Ralph?
We run over the lead in again.
It's not a fair question. I can talk some more about lead-ins if you want me to. This is a big subject, diagnosis. Unfortunately, been the subject that we could never teach anybody to date. I'll give you a clue on a lead-in. We scan the track on somebody. We start him back at conception and scanning forward to present time. This is not a diagnostic method and it's not to be used. I mean, this is an experimental method. I'll just show you something here. We scan him on forward to present time. An awful lot of things stick in his mind. So we take him back to conception, scan him on forward to present time again, and an awful lot of things stick in his mind. A lot of these things start erasing. You keep at it long enough, it gets clearer and clearer, and his life straightens out. And a lot of these things erase. But we're left with one that doesn't. At least one type of incident won't budge, and we find him thoroughly stuck. So we run him on help of dead bodies to open up some past lives or something of the sort. This is all experimental, you understand. Just to give you an anatomy of a case. So we take the life before this and we scan him forward from conception in that life, which he can't even conceive of it, actually, to be, make a pun. And we scan him on forward through that lifetime and up to present time. And we do that, and a lot of it shows up, and oh, this would be arduously long and isn't a recommended method. I'll just give you the mechanics, you see. And pretty soon, the same kind of incident that stuck up in the current lifetime sticks up in that lifetime. So we take him back a few lifetimes earlier. We take him back to some fixed date on the E-meter that bopped or something. We take a period prior to that. And we scan him all the way up from 1700 to present time. And we'll find that each one of these lives, a similar incident stuck. And doesn't free. But now they're getting bunched up. Jamming his track on one incident, one type of incident. So we take him back to 1000 AD and we scan him on up all the way through, and now everything seems to clean up except one type of incident. Well, up to this time, it's all apparently had to do with women. Marital situations in which he went boom. See? Now, we would make a vast mistake if we thought the Rock was a woman or a married woman or something. It's some special breed of cat. See, it's something special about this, and usually to that extent his behavior would be modified by women, but then women are locked up on something else. You get the idea? I'll give you an actual example of having scanned somebody around one time. Women were locked up on legs. And only after a long time, the preclear cognited on the fact that men had legs too. How remarkable. Big cognition, you know. Never noticed men's legs. Therefore, if we'd run women, we'd have been so far astray that we never would have gotten anywhere. It was legs. And during the last couple millennia, women's legs have been covered up and haven't been discussed in drawing rooms, and you couldn't even say women had legs. You know, they had limbs or something. The bad boys always stood around in the village main street by the corner drugstore and looked at women's ankles. Been quite a thing about legs, and that was all we were getting, you see, with all of this diagnosis. But all of a sudden we run into legs, see, and then he wakes up to the fact he hadn't got any. Brand new thought, see? Watch for these brand new thoughts. They're what stick out like mad. First time he tells you he never thought about that before, boy, you're cooking on the front burner. You've gone in under the inhibitor, and you're bringing the creation up to view. You'd be safe enough at this point simply to run legs. You get legs pretty flat, and you find out it's really shoes. And why shoes? Because they prevent a thetan from reaching downward and are a consistent and continual barrier. It'll work out something weird like this, see? Don't expect it to be logical. It won't be. That's why. It's non-computable. But problems will start falling into view. Don't handle them as problems. Skip them. Life computations will come to view, and all sorts of things will start to come to view. There's a lot of come to realize on running for the rock. See? Oh, what do you know? I never thought about that before. Yeah. I wonder what a thetan would look like that had legs, you know? Naturally, legs are a cancellation of a thetan's, one of the thetan's primary abilities, which is simply to disappear in one place and appear someplace else. Legs travel him there. And he's mad about legs. Now, one of the manifestations that will come out on the subject is he hates legs because legs invalidate him, and he's the one who's supposed to move bodies and things around, and legs move them around. You get the idea. I'll give you another computation. A thetan, furious about eyes. You see, in this particular case, it was women, babies, frogs. Oh, Freud would have had a ball with this particular case. frogs, lizards. Lizards. Where the hell am I going? You know, it doesn't seem to be getting anywhere, and so forth. Well, what do you seem to see there? Well, it's nothing but this damn lizard's eyes staring at me. Wasn't women, babies, frogs, or lizards. It was eyes. So you can say it's a common denominator to everything he brings up. The one thing that each of these things has in common. Of course, women's eyes are quite compelling because they're usually, when a fellow is fascinated with some woman, he's usually fascinated with her eyes or something of the sort, you know, and the eyes are the seat of livingness and all of this sort of thing. Windows of the soul, some poets have said. All of a sudden, this Thetan's liable to go half nuts that you're auditing and say, well, I should do all the lookingness. Eyes don't see anything. I should be doing the one that is looking. And he, after a while, will fall out into a minor cognition that I and I in English are spelled differently. It'll be a great revelation to him. Get the idea? So as you run down along the line, several conditions have to be answered. One of these conditions is that it doesn't release. The rock doesn't release until you get it. But you have to be close to it in order to affect it at all and unburden it. You can't unburden it from a distance. You can't pull the sand off the edges of the rock without starting an avalanche. In other words, your needle just gets stucker and stucker and stucker and stucker when you're really on the rock. Another condition is that it violates one of the thetan's personal, is always individual, ideas of what he should be doing. In other words, it has helped too much to a total dependency, and then he himself has, it's been a violation, you see, of his abilities, and eventually he's cashiered one of his abilities and taken over this thing, and then it betrayed him. And he's stuck with no ability to look. See? It's very simple. Physical universe is too broad and too big to be called a rock. But it's not beyond possibility that space is the rock, you know. The space is. Space. horrible stuff. How could you help space? God knows. And he'll boggle on this thing. Eventually, after he swings in just so close to it, after that, he'll either start running it or start protesting. If he's a good Scientologist, he probably won't protest. If he's somebody off the street, he'll protest like mad. Got it? Now, these lead-ins, then, you've always got something hanging out, to answer your question very directly. There's always something hanging out. And in this particular I case, you had a PC who was always this way. God, you're making so much out of looking that it was fantastic. See, you just look, you know. Looking was a conscious effort almost, apparently. And yet he apparently wasn't looking at anything. His eyes were not quite focused ever, but he was looking at things. See? And the auditor, after he got a hold of this one, says, oh, for God's sakes, I work on this thing for 10 solid hours, and then I run this thing. This guy's been eyes, yes, obviously eyes. Obviously. First moment I ever spotted the PC, I said, boy, that's a funny way of looking. Why didn't he just run it in the first place? You know? But you never do, so what the hell? Yes, Jack?
Isn't the rock, on any case, more likely to be further back on the track than bodies?
Yes. Yes, I kind of made that point in the lecture. But bodies can be all kinds of bodies and vehicles. And you'll find a present life body or a present millennia body or something here in the last million years or so possibly go back to a different type of body. And a different type of body entirely, like a robot body or something of the sort, you know. It isn't necessarily true that the individual has had the rock for 76 trillion years. See, he might have only had the rock for the last 1,000 or 2 and been in pretty good shape. One of the things you can do, you know, he just had minor little things that he was boggling at and so forth. He wasn't really in there to a point where everything identified with one thing. And boy, when that happened, man, he got a reactive mind, and after that he got it quick. There's another way of looking for one of these things, by the way, that might interest you, is look back to the time when last time he was happy. I've already tested this one as a possibility, running it on an E-meter. The last time he was happy. And you're liable to find some early date. The way you locate a date is, was it later than that? Was it earlier than that? And watch for drops. And when you get right on it, why, you will get a considerable needle reaction when you get the exact year or something of that sort. And then you try to find out what happened then. And very possibly you'll have some kind of a major situation in which a lock of the rock featured. So just examine everything connected with that. Found one the other day that had 4 apparent lead-ins. All of them less than 1,000 years ago. I've forgotten what the 4 were because I didn't do the analysis on the case. But it was one, was this a stake. Another one was an actual rock. Being stoned to death. Another one was a tree. Another one, I think, was a spear. Boy, these were all sticky. Now, the analysis was not pushed any further than that simply because it was one of these 20-minute look-over-the-track things. But 4 items were listed out, each one of which went vroom. Needle got real stuck up. You had to run connectedness. The person doing the analysis had to run connectedness to free up the needle. Now, where these things went and how far back they went, Lord knows. But when you get the rock, you generally get a late lock on it. But you get the actual rock very often if you're really auditing it. If you get something close to the rock or the actual rock, what you got is late but it's nevertheless valid. Now, when you start running it, boy, it goes way back down the track. See? It precedes itself much earlier and earlier and earlier. If you ask this individual when, why, he goes sailing back to the dim reaches of the far beginning of things, you see, and he'll flop all over the place. And you'll find out this thing has been pretty present all over the track. But when you pick it up in a single incident, remember that the incident which is locked up hardest on the case, the engram which is most stuck, was prepared for a very long time. He had a weak spot there, see? And you'll get all these preparatory incidents. You can actually see him stuck in the engram. Maybe the engram is relatively recent. That was the time when he was no longer in control of this thing called the reactive mind. Up to that time, he could brush it off a bit, you know. But all of a sudden, it went whomp, and he'd had it. After that, he was no longer in control of the reactive mind. He just kept on mocking it up, mocking it up, mocking it up, and inhibiting it, inhibiting it. He doesn't know what to do with it. He just frantic. Now, it's very true what you say. It's much earlier than bodies, but thetans have always had some means of identification of one kind or another. It could be such a thing, such a stupid thing as apparently as a as an energy particle or something. You see?
I was going to ask, if you located the material of the rock, would this be near enough to run?
Usually. It'd swing you into it.
Well, you don't have a...
I went all the way down the track on blood one time. Blood. Funny thing for a thetan to be worried about, but he was sure worried about blood. It was a great shock to him. He'd always had bodies that didn't bleed. All of a sudden, he got a body that bled, and blood was the inhibitor on having a body, because bodies bled, and that was very bad.
Yeah, well, couldn't you take
the rock was an inoperative body. That was the rock.
Couldn't you take like the major groups of things like solids, gases, liquids, and sort of basically?
Yeah. You could systematize it in. The only difficulty you run into is many of these items are so unreal to the preclear they don't bop. See. That's why a systematized approach has not been plotted out, because the reality of the items which you could list are quite variable. I suppose one day some full list of diagnostic material will come out. The closest we've got to it right now is SOP-8, expanded Gita list. If you went down that expanded Gita list and just watched the meter hitting each one kind of hard, why, there's some fair chance that you would hit a good solid stick there someplace. Some chance of it. That's just a generalized system. Value has not been demonstrated yet. Is that it? What other question is there? Yes, Jack?
Or just a brief comment. I think most people would have something on bodies that lead down to something else. It's just the opinion.
Yeah. If you're a little bit distant, or if it's distant from a rock, or if the rock is really part, just a small part of what you hit, you'll find too much reaction on it. If it's almost it, but isn't it, you get too much reaction on the darn thing, because the PC actually sort of feels that it'd be very painful to monkey with this thing very much, you know? It's fear of it. Whereas if he said bodies, and then he had segregated out body types and body parts, you see. One rather interesting thing, a fellow with a total Freudian, the ladies will have to forgive me here because this was an actual case. I hope you will. We're all fellows together in all this. But this guy was having a bad time of it, and he had Freudian computations, you know, sex and all of this, that, and the other thing. So on. And he ran back on the subject of nuts. And it didn't have anything to do with Freud. It just wound up as the things that hold the joints of robots together. They come apart and strip. And just as you're charging in battle and everything is going along fine, all of a sudden the leg's inoperative. The guy'd go berserk every time he tried to build up a little toy truck or something like this. So she had everything in the sun evidently connected with this silly thing, nuts and bolts. Sounds impossible, but... Everything suggestive that you could think of in connection with this had flooded in. The boy had had some psychoanalysis, which had almost put a death knell on him. Probably the reason he bought psychoanalysis was the original identification. It was one of these things, you know. But you'll find everything explained by the rock, which is one of these horrible comments. Everything gets explained by the thing, or it's locked, you know. The fellow says, "Now I know I always used to spill ink in school." And the auditor says, how has it got anything possible to do here with a thing we just found, which is a pistol?" "Oh, I see, ink pistol. No, no, that's not it. No, no, that's not it at all. It's the fact that I've disliked women." Trying to make a preclear be reasonable about it is probably the cruelest thing you can do, because you really are looking at that first book, A equals A equals A equals A. And how thoroughly roofs equal books, and how thoroughly streetcars are just exactly the same things in entirety as braids. How the hell did he manage that? By the way, one of the impulses that gets a person into lumping up things like this is keep it from going away. That's why step six is so shattering on so on. He gets everything, he keeps pulling things into himself and keeping things from leaving and getting up automatic keep it from going away, don't you see? How do I get everything to stick to me so that I don't have to hold on to things, you see? Well, it's after a person goes almost psychotically frantic about losing things, then he'll permit himself to go on with this rock deal. Eventually it goes out of his control. So step six will hit a rock, but it's the cruel way to do it, because it improves the ability to mock up long before it discovers anything on the case. And the rock will just get stronger and stronger and tougher and tougher.
Blow through it, though, don't you?
Yeah, if you keep the pre-clear in session. We've run it, just run step six all by itself, and we've improved people. But they go around being happily caved in, you know. They feel much better, but they haven't got any chest anymore. Another way of going about it, I'll give you another clue about the rock. If the rock has any association with body parts, it'll be that body part that the preclear isn't in communication with. And if you just ask him to feel his right hand and his left hand and tell you which feels the most, if he told you his right hand had nothing like the same feeling, you see... This hand, you see, is quite live, and this right hand, what is this all about? You know? You get quite interested in this fact. You've got some terrific imbalance on the body. Well, of course, that's not too hot, because it might be the arm, and it might be a bone, and it might be a fingernail, and it might be all sorts of things, but it's something he sure as the devil isn't communicating with. Yeah, that's the one thing he doesn't want to do with the rock, is communicate with it, which is what makes it difficult. Yes, Allison?
Ron, say you were digging around now for the rock, but the person had no recall at all on the whole track. Would you open it up then with the help on dead bodies or something like that?
You could. You could, but the rock is quite prominent in this lifetime, and you don't have to. The PC's going to do it. The PC's going to open up whole track if you've got hold of the rock. Say, what am I doing sitting here looking at this picture of this Indian? Must have read it in a book, you know. And he goes on this way for some time and finally says, hey, now, wait a minute. I don't see here what exactly how this adds up, but I have a sort of a feeling like I was on a planet one time or another. And he sometimes they innocently ask, could it be true that I've lived before? You don't have to tell him. What about it?
Yeah, it's funny. That's what I've been doing.
I thought it was
films or books.
That's right. That's right. And if you listen to it all, and if you for a long time, a PC, for some hours of running on this sort of thing, the PC can credit it all off to having read a lot of Sir Walter Scott or having had nightmares. And he's just charging it off to Locke's. And actually, if he looks long enough and you let him, he can rationalize it out into books he's read and all that sort of thing. And after a while, he runs out of it. And it's no longer a satisfactory explanation. He gets tired of lying about it, you know? Is that it?
Yeah.
All right. Yes.
There's probably quite a chain of incidents on this on things about the rock in this lifetime. I was wondering how they would have reacted to incidents that are pretty closely associated with the rock, would have reacted to most types of processing. And if there might not be a clue, they're about the ones that hasn't been able to really do much with.
Well, you're right. You're lucky to be auditing Scientologists because they can actually answer this question. What surprised the living daylights out of you in processing? What really shook you up? What didn't you know about yourself that you discovered in processing? And there, you're right on the button. I'm awfully glad you mentioned this because you're right on the button with the rock. I'll give you an example. Julia, one time just before Congress, decided all by herself that me standing up with a hot Congress lights pouring down on me, she knew I'd been doing lecturing and been under spotlights for a decade, you know, and undoubtedly nobody had ever audited me on it, so she just decided we just was going to do a little patch up before Congress and so forth, and she just decided that lights must be we ought to take this off the case, you know. Oh, it surprised me half to death. An actual light fixture moved with my physical eyes, you see, and with me looking, moved 2 feet down a wall. Just moved all by itself. I thought, boy, I've had it. I'm gone. And light took me by complete surprise. And somebody were auditing me and looking for something that was odd or something they could simply ask, you know. Anything ever surprised you in auditing? Is there something going on in your life that you didn't know about that you found out in auditing? And I, of course, tell them, well, it was light. I don't know where they'd go from there. Unfortunately, light, well, must have been close in to whatever I was doing, but what I'm doing doesn't seem to be very serious. I'm a great trial to an auditor. Because when they audit me directly, we don't get much of any place. Nothing much happens. I can see the room and move around and do this and that. When they get on the body parts, or straightening up some section of experience or something like that that is influenced to bodies, then we get on to trying to keep a body going and that sort of thing. But that's disappointing too, because they keep blowing. And we ran help on light, and evidently Julia had done such a terrific job on lights going away that I think help on lights flattened out in 5 commands or something stupid. I've forgotten. There wasn't anything on it. But that is not necessarily the case on every Scientologist, get the idea. My case is not every other case. I'm not identified. Who else got a question? Miriam?
There's another element in Scientology. Almost everything there has had one attitude or one thing come up over and over again that they never quite get resolved.
Well, now, when I was talking here to Ralph, coming up the line on this, I said if you scan this, you'd eventually find this price tag hanging out. There's a little tab hanging out, and it'd be the one thing that just wouldn't resolve. Well, it's straight on the chain right down to the rock.
Richter will bring that particular thing up. They'll look at it, but by God, they look the next day.
Yeah, it didn't resolve. It's not that he knows about it or is interested in it. Those are not the criteria. It's that it just kept coming up and coming up and coming up, and nothing ever happened with regard to it. I had a PC who had being chased by an Indian as a woman into a river. beautiful Freudian picture, you know, being chased by an Indian into a river and was caught and raped. And no matter what was done to the case, no matter what was run on the case, no matter what computation, this picture sooner or later would tend to pop up and disappear again, and all was the same and never any change. Except as the person's ability to mock up was improved, the picture got brighter and brighter. But there it was, time after time after time. This PC, by the way, rock computation does not happen to be sex or bodies, but water. Fascinating.
Question, Ron. You said that if the pre-clear knows about it, it couldn't be the rock. But there's a point of, isn't there a point of differentiation?
I've told you.
The pre-clear mentions or might talk about in the rock.
Yeah, well, he actually doesn't know in absence of auditing. And I've each time qualified this now, and I'm glad you brought it up because I'd like to punch it home hard. This doesn't too stringently apply to a Scientologist. A Scientologist had an awful lot of auditing. He knows a lot about cases, and he certainly knows a lot about his own case. He will add, to some degree, his service back in on this and tend to lead you a bit astray, but not too far. And he has had surprising things happen in auditing. He does know what he's up against, and so on. He has been amazed by some things. He does know there's holes in his ability to perceive something. He knows a lot of things intellectually. And these things are all of assistance in leading on down the line because the fellow's been audited. After all, we haven't exactly been stupid here the last few years. And I think your job is much easier right here in this unit, all of you. Much easier than it will be. And you're almost cheating to take advantage of this fact among Scientologists. But you are... You should make sure, if your Scientologist is talking about this thing and so forth, that it diagnoses the way and it analyzes the way I have described to you. See, that it's stickier and stickier and doesn't blow. And maybe it apparently blows once, you know, and then it sticks right on down again. You've got a lock off the top of it by some accident, you know, but it's... General rule is it's getting stickier and it's getting tougher. And if you plowed in about this and you gave him an ARC break about now, he'd really blow. See, and that's the thing you want to watch. Because in clearing people outside of this unit and outside the area of Scientology, you're not looking at any educated case at all. And he's liable to follow some old Freudian analysis that he had, or he's liable to, I ran into a Scientologist just last night. Late last night, I was just about knocked flat on a single cognition, on an address to a situation in two-way calm, cognited on something I have known about this person for about 2 years, and I'd never realized the person had never cognited on it. So I just punched up the conversation in this line and did one of these old-time straight-wire stunts, like 42 Aberdeen Road, you know, like you fish around for 10 minutes and hit one. You know? The person was handling life like a Christian Scientist. There was no mass, and all you had to do was make this benign postulate over it all, and then you didn't have to follow anything up, you didn't have to do anything. The person all of a sudden pinned this down and realized that there had been a very dominating Christian Scientist right next to the person in childhood, see? And this person really had never looked at as being aberrative. Every reason under the sun, moon, and stars to consider this person aberrative, but this Scientologist has been playing cat and mouse with this computation for a couple of years in auditing, and it never looked squarely at it. So you get another manifestation of get the PC to... even a Scientologist, to start looking at the thing, he got to start cognizing right away. Well, this is to some degree a certainty that you are on the rock chain. A person's greatest reality is on the chain of the rock. Not their least reality, their greatest reality. Fascinating, isn't it? Person's getting right down and getting real interested in being audited is a good test if you're on the chain and delivering the goods. See? Auditing is awful real to them all of a sudden. They've been playing around with it in the past, but it's awful real right now. See? Yeah, well, I've cut my lunch a little bit short and wanted to make sure I got back here in time for the session. Boy, you know where you're located here. Get the idea? The person doesn't want to come back, isn't much interested in it, kind of unreal, just going along for the ride, happy to help you out as a student, happy to sit there and pretend to be a priest there. You're not even vaguely near the case, see? You're way off in left field somewhere. And if somebody's blowing, you're probably pretty wrong about the case. The person is in a point of where they are feeling anxious. They know there's something there to be audited. They feel it isn't going to get audited. And they can get a bit panicky. They get panicky. But nobody like a Scientologist. A person off the street wouldn't get panicky too much at this point. They'd have some confidence in you. Not like for instance, I have a good subjective reality on this. By the way, I broke my arm some little time ago, and it, for some reason or other, wasn't healing up. So I got a series of sessions last week and last night, and I haven't got a broken arm. But the point was that it wasn't about to heal. And I was for sure not going to go around with my arm in a sling, so I just let the thing ride. And the bones kept grating against the bones, and I'd say, well, I'll get around to that later, you know. And the bones kept grating against the bones, and I couldn't pick up, so I couldn't pick up a package of cigarettes finally. So my auditor said, we better do something about this. Oh, better do something about it? Well, I suppose we had. This sort of an attitude. Not that I was brave, it was simply that the arm was a rock. See? It was right on the rock chain of beams. Beams would have audited much better. Doing things with beams. And getting a little bit mad at arms because they substitute for beams but don't reach far enough and then don't disappear. Yeah. After you're through using them. You see, this was what I was up against there. And I was totally neglecting this whole arm area. It was just as gone as you could get. And naturally, healing goes in ratio to the amount of communication you're willing to put on the area. The more communication you're willing to put on the area, the greater healing will occur. Well, the person who has no communication in an area very often doesn't know he doesn't have any communication in the area. I found a person the other day says, communicate with the body. What do you think? You think I'm crazy? Every time I communicate with it hurts like hell. Why should I communicate with it? Interesting computation. Person really not in very bad shape. You think that person was in awful shape. But in view of the fact that bodies aren't the only thing that can be wrong with a thetan, don't you see? You just pointed out, you narrow the scope here enormously. And this person could communicate with trees and automobiles and, mist and space and perfectly happy. And it just overlooked the body. And I was sympathetic to this because that's to some degree what I do. I'll pull off and not pay any attention to the body for a long time, get too interested in the government or the war or something, something stupid, and I'll put all my concentration on that. And all of a sudden, this body starts going, bleh. And I say, wait a minute, I better walk that thing up, and I walk it up again, and it goes a long time. Now, not to inject much personality into this, it was this area that is the rock, is the area which is totally real to the preclear, but the preclear isn't communicating with in any way. So in this particular case, arms were totally real to me. Arms, but not this arm. Sounds funny, Arms? Oh, arms, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Hacked them off and patched them up and healed them and done this with them and that with them and blown somebody's arm off when he was about to shoot me. And, you know, I mean, arms, naturally. Sure, you have a lot of randomity about arms. It's a great surprise to me. And the cognition in this particular case was that I didn't have the whole elbow section of this arm. It was just missing. It was just missing. It was as cleanly missing as though you look at this desk and you don't see it. Get the idea? That's the only way a busted bone could go on existing in an area and not have anybody do anything about it. You see? You just neglect it. The old panther mechanism. Total neglect. I could have probably gone into long and involved discussions about arms without getting into any serious trouble. Because I would have hit it lightly, wouldn't have paid any attention to it, and it all would have been intellectual discussion anyway. The moment somebody said to me, how could you help an arm? It was, well. That's a funny question. What a silly thing to ask somebody, you know? You can't help an arm. Everybody knows that. Clearing the auditing command again. What is an arm? What's a spear? So what? Spear. Or a hatchet or a short sword or anything like that. That's an arm. Oh, you're talking about an arm. Oh, I get it. Yeah, don't tell me now. Don't evaluate for me. You're talking about a body's arm like yours. Just a silly zone of no communication but compulsive communication. You get the idea? Anybody can pick these up. You've got one right this minute. It would be entirely too unreal to audit. I don't say that as evaluation, but you don't. You don't have a clue, I'm sure, what's going on in some area of Asia. See? I am sure that you should be, or could be, rather easily in communication with it, don't you see? But you aren't in communication with it. It goes so far as to say that if one person in this particular group, right here, right now, was in thorough communication with all of Russia and Asia, there wouldn't even vaguely be a war. Get the idea? Somebody pan-determining it. Otherwise, it's all running off without a communication, everybody abandoning responsibility for it, don't you see? It'll eventually generate into an individuation of some kind or another. I'm not talking mysteriously. When you abandon, and don't know you've abandoned, communication with an area for which you are basically responsible, you are then going to get trouble from that area, that's for sure. And every place in the world that you are not aware of now has, to some tiny degree, a potential threat for that particular reason. And any place that you are compulsively not very damn well going to communicate with, don't, if you went there by accident, if you joined the army and they sent you there, of course, as they would, you'd probably get your silly head blown off. It'd be the one place in the world that could totally affect you. Because it's a place in the world with which you will not communicate. Got it? If you could consider communication as a kind of a bomb or a salve, when spread liberally, brings total calm. And consider the areas where it is not to be those areas that things can go haywire in. You will find one characteristic of the rock. The other one is, that is the inhibitor at work. Now you are in communication with the area or it wouldn't exist. But you've got another mock-up sitting on it, just like I had on this arm. Nice little zone mock-up. It wasn't probably any bigger than a salad plate in the whole world, and it was that close up And I just had a total inhibitor put on it, see? And there it was. So communication was being actively denied to that area, don't you see? But all other areas that were associated with this area, identified with it, became more real as a result. Because, of course, you kind of had to watch those because you had it dimly in mind that it was dangerous. Otherwise, you wouldn't have inhibited this area. So therefore, you had to watch the situation. You get the idea. But you didn't ever look in the right place. You see, it was your action, or is your action, that knocks out the communication in that part of Asia from which you're going to get trouble. Right? You've got a repressor on it. What is the atomic bomb and the army and the navy and so forth? But an inhibitor is trying to inhibit the action of Asia. Well, the more inhibitor there is on an area, the more real atomic bombs and so forth are liable to become, but not in that area. You say, well, it wouldn't hurt us if any atomic bombs fell over there. Oh, bull. You get how this rock works? I've tried in numerous ways to cover this thing. But you just get a picture of this thing being obsessively mocked up. The thing is totally wrong. There's something totally wrong with it. Everything tied into it. And then you've got sitting over the top of it some kind of an inhibitor, which is saying, under no circumstances will I communicate with this. When you find yourself communicating with it, you're liable to be very surprised because you've denied yourself, you see? And you get your preclear to communicate with this thing, and he'll say, oh, well, there's nothing to that. Bow ties, I can always communicate with a bow tie. It does, shows you. So what? Bow ties. What are you talking about bow ties for? Say, well, bow ties are decorative, aren't they? Well, I wouldn't know about that. You know. Want to go on auditing, of course. Very cooperative about the whole thing. I don't see why you're covering this particular subject. This would be an average off-the-street reaction. If you were to ask them, how can you help a bow tie, you're liable to run into an automaticity. See, it's a jammed-up help factor that's got this thing moved out. You're liable to run into an automaticity. It goes like this, you know. How to help a bow tie? Well, you could tie it, you could strangle somebody, you could run it up down the hill, you could burn it, you could make it much flouncier, you could buy new... You couldn't even articulate the number of answers which go pouring off it. You ask it on the wrong side, and he says, it must be. Everybody knows you can't help the bow tie, see? That's on the stuck side, see? Every one of these super stucks has got an automaticity pushed up against it on the other side. And bow ties. Will you say, Satan's back on the track, never wore bow ties, so I am too late on the track. I'm much too late on the track. That's for sure. Let's try hanging. Hanging? Nah. Mooring lines. See, you got rope, necktie, so on. How close can he get to a gallows rope? A mooring line for a boat. We go on back down the line. We're liable to find in the final analysis it'll fall off the case that it's a beam or something with which you strangle somebody. And he too often has used this to keep people from going in the wrong direction or things from moving in the wrong direction. And then he got into an obsessive do it. And then one fine day, somebody he liked real well, some object he liked very well, started to move away, and he threw a beam around its neck, and he cut its whole head off. Thunk. He said, I better not communicate with necks. So neck would be part of this, but wouldn't be it. Bow tie, or a tie of any kind might be it. Necklace. See, a whole bunch of stuff would be on this, each one of which would be sticky. But you're not going to run stuff like modern bow ties and get any place with a case. That's fairly obvious. So you're going to have to go back to hangings, or you're going to have to go back to garrotes, or you're going to have to go back to something that is dangerous around the neck.
There was a process you mentioned once in London. Tell me something you wouldn't mind not communicating with, and you said the more you ran this, the deeper the guy went in the hole.
The good process, possibly a diagnostic process here. I've been looking for diagnostic processes lately. I think you hit it there. I think it'd be any process that tended to run the guy into the hole would be running him up on the rock. For instance, one of the reasons things you are not going to communicate with, or things you wouldn't mind going out of communication with, so forth, would certainly include the inhibitor. But there is a rule about inhibitors that has been demonstrated here recently in a series of tests I've made, and that is, don't monkey with the inhibitor if you possibly can. The inhibitor isn't the thing. It is simply the symptom of the condition. And the more you disturb a field as itself, the more you audit a field, the more you audit the non-communication of an area, the more you seem to bring power into the original creation, which is the painful thing. The original creation is the painful thing, not the inhibitor on top of it. So the more you shake up an inhibitor, the worse your preclear is going to get. At least that seems to be the demonstrated rule here about this time.
Will he go into obsessively mucking up the same thing?
Oh, yes. Yeah, and it'd get realer and realer, more and more and more and more solid, and hours. You can, by the way, turn on the rock full scale. And I tried this several times just on the theory that it'd show up and he'd see it. And he never does. One more.
On the question of your neckties back to the hangman, when it came to running help, could you run, how could you help a hangman, or how could you help a knot around the neck?
Oh, yeah.
Which one would you run? How could you help?
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's what stuck. It's what stuck.
So how could you help a hangman with work?
If that's the one that stuck.
Thank you.
A necktie, by the way, would perhaps pull off of it and loosen up the needle. See, you might be able to skim the lock off the top of the thing, you know. And if you get just a little closer in, and anything connected with it will start sticking in. Then you really got to look sharp. You remember the chain you're on when you're doing something like that. You can always free up one of these super stuck needles by running connectedness. Remember that. You can get the individual back on out into present time and physical universe and key this thing out by redirecting his attention. Remember, you can do this. If you've really stuck a guy in deep and gotten nowhere, why, just run some connectedness and you loosen up the needle and pull him out of it. You got that? That's always the preventer on this analytic approach. Okay, well, we've talked an awful long time, but I think you needed quite a bit of information about this, right? Mm-hmm. Think it's helped you out any?
Oh, yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.